I'm running out of time as always, right? But let's open our Bibles this morning to Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. It's been a couple of weeks since we were together here in this section. And we, of course, as I mentioned when we first started this section, that this is one of the greatest passages in all of Paul's epistles about the fact that salvation from hell, justification, is indeed by grace alone, through faith alone, in the blood of Christ alone. And this is just, I've suggested that we should memorize this passage. I hope that you have done that, because it's something that you can always use as you're sharing the gospel with people. We're actually down at verse 10. I'm going to pick back up at verse 8, but we're actually at verse 10. Look with me at verse 8. He says, "For by grace." In fact, let's read these three verses out loud together. He says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we're grateful that we can gather again here today to open Your precious Scripture and to allow what You think and what You say to penetrate our thinking and our heart, and therefore to impact our lives. And it is our desire that our lives would have an impact on other people, and to do so for Your glory and honor. In Christ's name we do give You praise. Amen. Okay, I want to start off this. Today we're going to talk about the issue of good works. You see down at verse 10, he says, "We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." Unto good works. Today we're going to talk about good works. But I want to start off with an illustration or example. I'm going to have you do something, okay? Is it a little cool here this morning? And a little, not too bad? Okay, here's what I want you to do. If you're outside somewhere and you're cold and so forth, what typically do you do to try to warm up? Everybody do that. Let's go. Come on. Come on, rub your hands. Okay, move around a little bit. Come on, squirm. Come on, move around. Come on, let's jump, run in place. Come on, let's go. Yeah, move the feet and everything, dude. Get jumping jacks. Come on now, warm up. Okay, now I want you, no, keep going, keep going. Come on. Let's go. I want you to keep doing that through the whole message. I'm going to keep doing this too while I'm preaching, okay? All right. What are you stopping for? Come on, go. Let's go. Yeah, commitment, right, yeah. Okay. Now I want you to keep that in mind. I'll come back to that, hopefully if I remember to do it at the end of the message. Yeah. All right. Okay. We're going to talk today about this issue of good works. It's obviously something that among many people is hotly debated. That is, the place of good works in relationship to a person's salvation. There are those that believe that good works are a part of your salvation. You have to have faith plus works. There are those that believe that, okay, maybe it's not a part of your salvation, but that you have to have good works in order to prove that you're saved. They will take that from the concept that you shall know a tree by its fruit. Okay, so the idea that good works are, maybe they're not required for salvation, but that you need to have good works to prove that you're saved. That's the third one. Yes, he's already tracking with me. Another idea is the idea that you have to have good works in order to keep your salvation. And so when you think about the different views that people have the idea of good works, they say you have to have good works to get saved, to stay saved, to prove you're saved, but there's actually a different option, isn't there? So this is a multiple choice test, okay, A, B, C, or D. What would the other option be? It's definitely not all the above, because the first one was you have to have good works to get saved. Is that true? You have to have good works to stay saved. Is that true? So it's not B. You have to have good works to prove you're saved. Is that true? So it's not C. I didn't tell you the D yet, right? But the fourth option is this, that good works are as a result of salvation. Simply, period, done. Good works are to be the result of salvation. So it really is that simple. And yet good works are something that it's amazing how people debate about it and argue about it and so forth. Let's, first of all, again, go back to Scripture and allow the Scripture to make sure that we properly understand the relationship of good works to salvation. The relationship of good works to justification. All right? So watch this. Stay in this passage here. Look at verse 8 again. He says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Question. What is the relationship of good works to salvation? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Good works are not related in any way at all, ever, to your justification. Look at how he says it over in Titus chapter 3. Hold on to Ephesians. We'll be coming back there. Look at Titus chapter number 3. So point number 1 is that good works have no relationship ever of any kind at all to your justification. That's point number 1. All right? Look at Titus chapter number 3 at verse 4. He says, "But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared." Now watch verse 5. "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us." So, do good works play any part in a person's justification? What's the answer to that? The answer is absolutely, unequivocally, never, not, nothing at all, ever. You have to first get that settled in your mind, in your heart. And it's got to be the Word of God that brings you to that conclusion, by the way, not me. It's got to be the Word of God that brings you to that conclusion. But in order to appreciate and understand the fact that there are such a thing as good works, because the Apostle Paul mentions good work and good works multiple times throughout his epistles, throughout his writings and so forth, all right? But in order for us to appreciate the nature of good works and why he could even call them good works and so forth and what makes them good, we have to first of all appreciate the fact that they have no part at all of any kind ever in our salvation, our justification, salvation from hell. Everyone clear on that? If you've been coming to church for a while here, you better be clear on that one. If not, man, we'll have to take you behind the shed here and tar and feather you, you know? I'm joking, of course, right? You know? Tar and feather, that's not a grace. That's not how to deal with somebody with grace. But get that in your mind. Make sure you understand that. Good works. By the way, why is there the argument about good works, the place of good works? How come? What's that? James 2, faith without works is dead. Okay, good. So number one, the reason among professing believers that there's a debate about good works is because there are verses that talk about good works. And so they want to, you know, they only want to walk by faith in those verses. So they say, so you have to have good works and so forth. What's another reason why this whole debate about good works even exists? Pride. Meaning what? Because people think they have them. They think they can do works that merit the favor of God. That's pride. They think they have something that they can bring to the table that would cause God to act on their part and save them. And Ephesians chapter 2 has already made that very, very clear. Not just Ephesians 2, but it's made it very, very clear that we bring absolutely nothing to the table when it comes to our salvation. Christ paid the debt. And He said, it is, what did He say? It's finished. Aren't you glad for that? It's a done deal. Salvation truly is the gift of God. It's something He gives to us as a gift. You simply receive it. You cannot earn it, pay for it, deserve it. When Paul says, where is boasting then? The fact that he asks the question and answers is excluded. What does that say, therefore, about the idea of good works for salvation? Totally excluded. Did you say? They're totally excluded. They're gone. There's nothing. See that? Where is boasting then? It is excluded. Salvation by grace through faith in the blood of Christ alone absolutely excludes good works in playing any part of your salvation. Okay, question. Is that good to know? Why? Because you hadn't done any good. Why else? You'd never know if you did enough. And I wouldn't be there. Think about that. If good works were required for salvation, how would you know if you did enough? You could have no peace, no assurance. But the fact that it's all based upon the finished work of Christ, you can have peace, rest, and assurance. I love the way that it says it over here. Look over to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. Watch this. Look at 1 Thessalonians 1, 5. 1 Thessalonians 1, 5. Watch this. 1 Thessalonians 1, 5. Watch the statement here. 1 Thessalonians 1, 5, it says this. He says, for our gospel, so he's talking about Paul's gospel there, the gospel of the grace of God, right? He says, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, that's the working of the word, right? And in the Holy Ghost, and in much, what? See that? Paul's gospel, if you'll believe it, it is accompanied with much assurance. You can have assurance of your salvation, okay? So point number one is simply this. Good works play no part at all, ever, to any degree of any kind, in your justification. Point number two is, what was point number one, by the way? Amen. So at least he got that right. Okay. Point number two is this. That good works are to follow salvation. They don't get salvation. They don't earn you or attain your salvation. They are to follow salvation. Look back at Ephesians chapter number 2. Look back at Ephesians chapter number 2. And look at the simplicity of how he says it here. See how he says it in Ephesians 2:9. He says, not of works. But then does he mention works in verse 10? You see that? So when he says, not of works, what is not of works? Salvation, the gift of God. It's not of works. But then look at verse 10. For we are his workmanship. We're going to talk about that phrase next week, by the way. It's staggering what he's using there. But he says, for we are his workmanship, watch this, created in Christ Jesus. Okay, stop there for a moment. So the guy in verse 10 is already a saved person then, right? So see how he says it, verse 10? For we are his workmanship. So who's doing the work? God is. Created. Who created us in Christ? God did. You didn't do it. I didn't do it. Now watch this. For we are his workmanship, creating Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So where do good works come into the picture? Before you're saved, to get saved, or after you're saved? That's pretty clear, isn't it? See how simple that is? That good works are to be the reason. They're to follow salvation. They're to follow your justification. That's point number two there. Okay, now turn with me to Titus chapter 3. Let me give you another passage on the same point. The good works are to follow your justification. Look at Titus chapter number 3. Watch this. Titus chapter number 3, verse 8. Titus 3, verse 8 says this. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God... Okay, stop there. So is he talking about a believer now? Now watch what he goes on to say. That they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain what? See that there? Put a marker there. We're going to come back in a little bit. Okay, so forth. So do you see how good works are to follow salvation? You don't get saved from hell by doing good works. Good works play no part at all ever of any kind to any degree for your justification. But once you are saved, good works are to follow. Point number three. This is critical. Not that the other two are not critical. Point number three is this. Ask yourself the question. What is the source of the good works? And what makes a work good? You follow what I'm saying? What is it that's the source of good works? Remember our illustration. Do it again if you would. Okay, you're kind of cold right now. Let's see if... Come on, let's warm it up. Let's start. Run in place and everything, right? Come on now, jumping jacks, let's go. Come on. Are you guys heating this building up yet? It's still kind of cold here. Why not? Come on now. Okay, so keep that illustration in mind. I'll come back to it in just a moment, okay? All right? At least your hands are warm, right? Okay. So what's the source of good works? And what makes them, therefore, good? What qualifies them to be good? Well, let me have you notice a couple of passages of Scripture. Go with me, if you would, to Romans chapter number 8. Go to Romans chapter number 8. And then I'm going to also have you get Galatians chapter number 5. Go to Romans in chapter number 8. And then Galatians chapter number 5. I'm going to start at Romans 8 verse 1. Romans 8 verse 1. Romans 8 verse 1. And he says this. It says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." By the way, if you are not using a King James Bible, you'll notice that half of that verse was missing. You should be using a King James Bible because in the English language, that's the proper translation of the proper underlying Greek text. Okay? All the translations I don't remember checking a new King James on that verse, but I know all of the other ones, all of them, leave out the last half of verse 1. Did you notice verse 1 again there? Let me just kind of side note for a moment. See how it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." And then that next statement is missing out of the other translations. The statement says, "Who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit." If you'll jump down to verse 4, this is kind of a little side note here, but look at verse 4. It says, "That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us." Now here it is. "Who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit." You'll notice that the statement at the end of the verse 4 is the same as the statement at the end of verse 1, if you have it in your Bible in the King James Bible. And so the logic is this, that the Greek manuscripts that were used to produce, like the NIV and the NAS and the American, and all of the other translations, okay? The Greek manuscripts that were used to produce those verses actually cut in half, Romans 8:1 is missing. That's why it's not translated in the other texts and so in the translations, okay? And the logic is this. They're saying, well, at some point in history when the scribes were making copies of the texts and so forth, the guy saw it at verse 1, and then what he did, he looked up and maybe got a drink of water and then went back and saw it in verse 4 and then inserted it in verse 1. And so those who say, well, it's wrong in the King James Bible, they say it was a copyist error and that he duplicated it from verse 4. He put it in verse 1. So they actually say your King James Bible's wrong. But think about how, you know, that's not a sound argument at all. Do any of the Bible writers, any of them, not just Paul, but do any of the Bible writers ever repeat almost word for word what they say in other places in close proximity? They do it a lot of times. So that's not a sound argument at all. But the bottom line is, that back to the verse here. See, Paul's thinking here at verse 8, he says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." In the context, what is the condemnation? The condemnation is the condemnation from chapter 7 that the Apostle Paul was experiencing as a believer attempting to live under the law. Now, let me ask you a question. If you're a believer, are you a believer? Have you trusted Christ? Okay. So are you to live, did God save you and then put you under the Ten Commandments? No. In fact, hold your place there. Let me have you compare something in Galatians. Go to Galatians real quickly, if you would, to Galatians chapter number 2. Think about this verse. This is a real interesting, and it's a controversial verse because of the implications. Look at Galatians chapter number 2, verse 19. Galatians chapter number 2 and verse 19, and it says this. "For I, through the law, am dead to the law." Why? Everybody see that there? "That I might live unto God." In order to live unto God, you had to have been made dead to the law. If that is true, and it is, that verse says so, well then if you and I as believers are attempting to live this life of Christ, If you and I as believers are attempting to live this new identity that we have in Christ, if we're attempting to live it by living under the law, are we honoring God? Not at all. You're hindering the very life of Christ that is in you. You're dead to the law, that you might live unto God. You're free from the law. Well, go, you can let go of Galatians 2 there, but hold Galatians, what did they say? Galatians, what was it? Yeah. Hold Galatians 5. Go back to Romans. So when he says there in Romans 8, he says, therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation. The condemnation that Paul's describing in Romans 8:1 was what he described in detail back in Romans 7 when he attempted as a believer to live under the law. It didn't work, and he found that the law condemned him. On the other hand, when he realized that he's under grace as a believer, when we live under grace, there is therefore now no condemnation. But that verse went on to say, look at how it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus who walk. Okay, walk. Now he's going to compare two things. What are they? Walk where? So here you got flesh, and here you've got what? Okay, question. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not here, but walk here. Where am I at? Thank you. There we go. See? That was a good homeschooled son right there, right? Proper spelling, English and so forth. You know? Thank you. That's excellent. Okay. All right, so question. Can the believer walk here? Live after the flesh. When the believer walks in the flesh, since he or she can, is there condemnation? Absolutely yes. Not eternal condemnation, because you can't lose your salvation. What is condemned? The conduct in the flesh. See that? Can the believer walk in the Spirit? Yes. When the believer walks in the Spirit, what's the life source? What's the resource? The Word of God. Yes, it's the Spirit. It's the Word. It's Christ in us. See that? Did I spell that right? Thank you. Just check this out. Okay. See that? So you see, you got two different realms. Not only that, there are two different resources. What's the resource over here? Self. What's the resource over here? The Spirit of God indwelling us. The empowerment from the Word of God, Christ indwells us by means of the Spirit. See the different resources, okay? So what I'm driving at in terms of good works is that good works, the source of good works is Christ in us, or the indwelling Holy Spirit, or the Word of God working in us. Those are all different ways of saying the same thing, though all three are true. Christ really does indwell the believer, right? Did you know that? Look at, are you there in Romans 8? Stay there in Romans 8. Watch verse 9. Look at Romans 8, 9. Romans 8, 9 says this. It says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Romans 8, 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Does the Spirit of God dwell in you? Okay, see that? Now watch this. Now if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, yikes, bad news. See what that says? You know, see that? Okay, so you do have the Spirit of Christ, right? If you're a believer, right? And if you're not a believer, then you don't have the Spirit of Christ. And if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're not a believer. By the way, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're not a believer, can you get the Holy Spirit? How much will it cost you? How many good works do you have to do? Do you have to pray a prayer? Do you have to crawl on your hands and knees? Do you have to do all this stuff? No. Believe. Trust the blood of Christ alone for your salvation. That split second, God the Holy Spirit not only baptizes you into the very death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but He absolutely makes you one with Christ resurrected. And now Christ resurrected is your life, your resource, your power. And you are complete in Christ and sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise forever. Isn't that wonderful to think about that? How simple it is, okay? And so that verse says, Look at verse 10 now. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now watch verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. Well, does He? Okay, see that? See, this is the if of logic, by the way. Okay? He says, if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, watch this, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, what's the word quicken mean? Give life to. Quicken your what kind of body? What kind of body? What kind of body is the mortal body? It's a body that hasn't, it's able to die, but it's not dead yet. See that? By, so he says, quicken your mortal body by His Spirit that dwells in you. What's he talking about? He's talking about resource. Resource. You see, the resource, the source of good works is the indwelling Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ dwells in you and me as believers by means of the Holy Spirit. And it's as we walk by faith in His Word and choose to believe what His Word says and then take and apply what His Word says to the situation in life that we're facing, that's what determines whether what we do in that particular situation is a work that God considers is good. Question. As a believer, can I tell the truth in the flesh just about a situation? As a believer, can I tell the truth in the Spirit? So in both situations, I'm telling the truth. Are both good works? They're not, are they? Because if I am operating my life as a believer in the energy of the flesh, I'll do this quickly if you would. Come on, let's go. Warm the place up. Let's go. Okay, what are we doing? What am I doing? I'm using my own energy to create, I'm using an internal flesh resource to create some heat. Okay, who's got the oxygen, by the way? No. Okay, see that? But do we have a different resource to bring some heat into this building? Yes, we turned it off, of course, but because it's too loud, I can't talk over it. But you see the obvious, it's a crazy illustration, right? But you see it? Maybe it's effective. Maybe Nick, when you go home tonight and the temperature drops, is Trophimus listening on the internet? Oh, he's not. Okay, he would appreciate this. The poor guy's in minus 41 degrees, you know. Let's just all tell him, Trophimus, when it drops to minus 41 degrees, don't turn the heater on, just rub your hands together, you'll be just fine. See, that's like telling a lost person that just trust your own good works, you'll be just fine. Instead, you set the thermostat to heat the house up to 75 degrees, whatever you're comfortable with, and now you don't have to expend the energy trying to stay warm because you've got a different resource. And you have the privilege of living in the what that other resource provides. You can rest in it. You can sit down and read your book. You can sit down and enjoy your meal. You can sit down and just have family time. Because it's not you having to expend the energy just to create heat. Imagine you're trying to enjoy your supper, you know, and you like that and everything. And, well, honey, this cold supper is a little good, but it's kind of cold here, you know, but I'm sure. See how crazy that would be? And so too, I as a believer, I can do things that are good scripturally that they tell me to do, let him that stole steal no more. But if I'm doing it in the energy of my own flesh, again, it's as foolish as me trying to expend my own energy to try to create heat when I've got a different resource to heat up the house, and then that way I can just utilize its what it produces. Does that make sense how I'm saying that? You know? So you're there in Romans 8, are you? Watch this. Look at Romans 8, 1 again. He says, Romans 8, 1, he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So you got the two realms. Now watch verse 2. Verse 2 is one amazing verse. For the law of the Spirit of what? Life in Christ Jesus. See, there, just like the law of gravity is real, they don't exactly know what it is. Whatever it is, it keeps us connected to the earth, right? Scientists really don't know for sure, is gravity a force that pulls us towards the center of the earth, or is it an external force that pushes us down towards an object with mass. They actually don't know what it is for sure. They debate over which one of those two is, but they know it's real. Whatever it is, it's real. It's an actual law of gravity. By the way, we're grateful that it does work around here, right? You know, and so forth. So just like law of gravity is real, there are all different kinds of law. There's laws of physics, laws of thermodynamics, and so forth. So too, there, that verse talks about the law of the Spirit. What's in that verse? What is the law of the Spirit? What is it? Life in Christ. If you're in Christ, you have life because He is your life. If you're not in Christ, you don't have life because the law of Spirit is life in Christ Jesus. See that? Christ is our life. He is our resource. So when we're talking about the source of good works, we're talking about the indwelling Holy Spirit is the resource or the source that we have so that good works, so that works can be done that are considered to be good. See that? And the reason I said to turn to Galatians there is, look with me quickly at Galatians chapter number 5 verse 16. Galatians 5:16 says this. Galatians 5:16 says this. This I say then, what? Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. See, if we as believers will make the decision, walking is just the idea of putting one step in front of another, making progress in the direction that you should be going. That's all it is, okay? It's a great example, all right? So if we will make the decision in our life as believers to live in the realm which God has put us, He's put us in Christ, where Christ is our life. If we will make a conscious decision day by day as we face the circumstances of life to live in this realm, if we walk here, then we won't be fulfilling this realm. See that? Isn't that something how it does it? Okay? So question. If I as a believer and confronted by something in life, and we're going to talk about real examples of good works here momentarily. We'll look at a few, okay? But if I, as a believer, if I'm confronted with the situation, and I have to make a choice, which I do, about how I'm going to respond to the situation, or respond to the person and so forth, I have a choice, don't I? I can either respond over here in the flesh, or I can respond in the Spirit. Now, my response could be good, from the standpoint of how that person looks at it. Let's say someone offends me and I decide that I'm going to forgive them. If I do it in the energy of the flesh and I forgive that person, how does it look to that person? He doesn't know, if she doesn't know I did it in the flesh, I forgive him to say, this guy's a good guy. But if I did it in the flesh, is it a good work? So whose benefit was it for? Me. You know, I was looking for some benefit and so forth. You know? But if on the other hand, I do it over here in this realm, now since it was Christ doing it in me, it is a good work. See that there? Do you have a question on that? Or? Yeah, I'm getting there. That's the question. That's the $64,000 question. How do you know when it's one way as compared to the other? How do I know if I extend forgiveness here in the flesh or if I extend forgiveness over here in the Spirit? Husbands? Guys, okay, let's talk to the guys here for a moment, okay? Husbands and potential future husbands, because we have some here, maybe, you know, and so on. A happy wife is a happy life. There you go. Put that on that side of the board. Anyway, you know, but, I mean, seriously, husbands, I'll talk about this, I know I'm jumping ahead here. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Okay. Can I love my wife on this side of the board, in the flesh? I can. I can make life good for her. I can make it happy for her. I can make it pleasant for her, exciting for her. Right, husbands? Okay? But if I'm doing that in the energy of my own flesh, it might be good for this lifetime, but is it a good work as far as God is concerned? How come? How come it's not? It's because the resource, again, it's like me trying to get heat in my house by rubbing my hands together. That's my energy. See that? But on the other hand, as a believer, if I really think about what that verse says, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church, all of a sudden, it drops me to my knees. And I realize, wow, I don't have a chance of being able to do that. Because Christ loved the church unconditionally, perfectly. So God, and gave himself for it. So God, the only way that I have a chance of loving my wife, that is considered a good work, is if I do it in the power of the Spirit of God, believing what the verse says. Well, I'll talk more about that momentarily, okay? But you've got the question. That's the question. And it's a question that we probably have all asked at times. How do I know if something's a good work? How do I know if and when what I'm doing, that I'm doing it in the resource of my flesh or in the resource of the Spirit? Okay, but first of all, we got to realize there is a difference in those resources there, okay? I see a couple of hands, but I'm just running out of time here. Let me do this real quickly. Okay, all right. That was point number three. The source of the good works and what makes it a good work is the indwelling Holy Spirit as we trust the Word of God, okay? All right, number four. Good works are to be the result of being motivated by grace alone. So we do good works truly and only out of gratitude. See that? So watch this. Go with me, if you would, back to Titus chapter 3. And on your way over, get 1 Thessalonians 1. Titus 3. You can let go of Ephesians, let go of Romans. You, right now, just have these two passages. Titus 3 and 1 Thessalonians 1. 1 Thessalonians 1 and Titus chapter number 3. Watch this. Watch this. Look at 1 Thessalonians 1, 3. Look at a phrase here. 1 Thessalonians 1, 3 says this. 1 Thessalonians 1, 3 says this. He says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and your labor of what? See, that's labor. That's the result of love. Labor, that's the result of being motivated by grace. Now watch how he says it in Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter number 3. Did I get that right for you? Okay. Alright, watch this. Look at Titus chapter 3. Now watch this. Remember we read this passage a little earlier, verse 8, about he says that those which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. Okay, so watch this. Go back to verse 4. Look at Titus 3, verse 4. He says this. He says, and to start making a list here, but after the kindness, write kindness down, and love, write love down, love of God, our Savior, write down Savior. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done. So write down works and put a line through them because it's not by works. But according to His what? Write down mercy. He did what? Saved us. Write down saved. By the washing of regeneration. That's real baptism. That's not water baptism there. There's no water in that verse at all. That's real regeneration. He says, and renewing of the Holy Ghost. So you have the Holy Ghost in you, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. That being justified by His what? Write down grace. We should be made what? Heirs. Write down heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Write down the guarantee of eternal life. Now, does it sound like the things in verse 4, 5, 6, 7 are kind of exciting? The kindness of God, the love of God, the mercy of God, being regenerated by the Spirit of God, being justified, having eternal life, being made heirs, those things are motivating, are they not? When you think about those things, what does it bring forth in a heart as you in your heart as you think about those? Thankfulness. You see that there? So now watch the next verse. Verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things. What things? The kindness of God, the love of God, the righteousness of God, not by works, the indwelling Holy Spirit, sealed by the Spirit, Christ is our Savior, eternal life, being made heir. See that? These things I will that thou affirm Once a Sunday. Constantly. How often does constantly? All the time. How often should we remind ourselves about the kindness of God, the love of God, the mercy of God, the goodness of God, the cross work of Christ, the blood of Christ, our heavenly hope, how often should we allow the Scripture to tell us about these things? About once a year? All the time. Now watch what he says. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will tell for him constantly, that they which have believed in God might be, what's the next word there? Full of care. That's the result of thinking about these things, being reminded of them, careful to maintain what? Good works. See that? See, good works truly are to be the result of thankfulness. They're to be the fruit of a grateful heart. So if you don't do good works to get saved, you don't do good works to stay saved, you don't do good works to prove you're saved. You do good works that are simply an expression of a heart that is impressed and overwhelmed and constrained by the kindness, the goodness, the love of God. And that's different. See that? So therefore, back to, what would some examples of good, and this is point number 5, and I know we're a little out of time, but that's okay. Watch this. Give me 5 minutes here, right? What would some examples of good works be? Watch this. Are you there? You can let go of Titus, but go back to Ephesians. Go back to Ephesians chapter 4 here. Watch this. Let me just give you some quick examples of some good works, and let's try to put all this together. Okay? Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Watch this. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to jump, just because of time's sake, I'm going to jump ahead to verse 26. Watch this. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Okay. Is anger, is it always bad? No. What determines that it is bad? Anger is a motivator, right? Guys, again, husbands, you got someone comes into your family and tries to harm your wife and your children, you better express some anger. You better go into defense and so forth, right? But do it over here. Go ahead and kill that guy in the flesh. Okay, I'm just joking. I'm sorry, in the spirit, you know? In the spirit over here, you know? But, yeah, say a prayer. Give him the gospel before you blow his head away. This is going to go viral for sure, yeah. Anyway, you follow what I'm saying? Be angry and sin not. We can use a motivating a power, anger, but if I do it over here, it's just in the flesh. If I do it over here, it's in the spirit. See that there? Look at what else he goes on to say. He says, verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. So he's got a situation where he can help a brother or sister in Christ out. He's got to get some money, make some income, and so forth. So he says, hey, I can help that guy. And if he does it over here in the flesh, hey, I helped that guy out of church. I gave him, you know, $500, whatever, and so forth. Just want to let you guys all know I did that. Okay, so who's doing that? That's me, and I'm seeking self-energy, self-effort, and so forth. See that? Yeah, glorifying self. See that? On the other hand, in the privacy of my own heart before the Lord, I can say, you know what? I got a situation that at least now I could help someone out. In the future, I'm going to ask them, can you help me out, right? Because things change, right? Don't the economic situations change? And so you say, you know what? Lord, just before you, I want to go help this person out. And just between me and you. So you help them out. And you move on. You do that because the verse suggested that, hey, here's a situation. See that? That's how you decide. That's what makes it different between, am I doing it in the flesh or am I doing it in the spirit? Keep reading. Look what he says. He says, verse 29, he says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Well, that's a pretty obvious one, whether it's there or over there, right? You know? Jump ahead to verse 31. Let's spend a few more minutes on this one. Watch this one out, right? Verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Well, when you look at the series of the words there, you know it gets more intense. Bitterness builds to wrath, which builds to anger, which builds to clamor, which builds to evil speaking, which builds to malice. Man, Paul describes the average marriage, right? I mean the average relationship, right? You know, the average argument and so forth. In the flesh. Because one thing builds to another, builds to another, builds to another, builds to another. And pretty soon, I mean, just we as believers are walking over here. So we can say, yeah, the situation happened and I'm going to forgive you because God's word says to forgive you. So you're forgiven and so forth. You haven't forgiven that person. Not at all. But instead, in the privacy of your own heart before the Lord, you think about those verses and you say, Lord, you know what? I am responsible. I let the situation get out of control. I'm the spiritual leader of my family. When things get out of control, it's me. It's my responsibility. Not that other person, not the kids, not the wife and so forth. I'm the head of my own household. I am responsible. So by faith, Lord, you tell me to take the lead. That bitterness, that anger that tends to build up, Lord, I need to trust your word to empower me to just let that stuff go. To not grip on it so tight because I'm so afraid of losing control. Just let it go. And then replace it with verse 32, and be a kind. Once another, tender hearted. See that? But I choose to be kind towards my spouse. I want to have a tender heart to her needs. And I want to forgive, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven me. See that there? These are just some examples. You go on to chapter 5, he talks about, look at chapter 5 real quickly, verse 22. 5:22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives. See that? Chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents. It's interesting. It's really not that complicated in terms of what good works actually are. But you have to be clear on the resource so that we can do good works and that they are good. You read Paul's epistles. Good works, more so than anything else, really have to do with, you have a proper resource, but more so it has to do with proper attitude. It all begins with an awareness and appreciation of who we are in Christ. And therefore a dependency on Christ as our life. The way you do that is you believe the verses and allow the words to come forth and impact someone else's life. See that there? So the illustration of throwing your hands together, it's not going to work. You're going to get a blister. You're going to get worn out. It's unnecessary to use that as the resource. As a different source of heat, a different source of energy, a different source of life. It's the Word of God. And as you walk by faith in what it says, trusting what it says, that's what makes it a good work. And it's not to get saved, not to stay saved, not even to prove you're saved, but simply out of thankfulness. Gratitude, appreciation for God and who He is and who He's made us to be in Christ. Let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we thank You that we can spend a little bit of time this morning looking at these verses that mean so much to You. And it is our desire here that they would mean as much to us. We know that that takes time because we do tend to struggle with the flesh and the attractions of this world and the distractions of this world. So we pray, God, and ask that as we talk about good works, that we would be careful to maintain them. And maintain them for the right reason and the right resource, all motivated by your love. We've made us in Jesus Christ, in His name we pray.